Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? We're going to go to the Word of the Lord. We're going to go to John 10, one of my favorite passages, starting with verse 1. Thank you to all the musicians and singers. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time we have in the Lord this morning. Amen. Did you come expecting something? Hallelujah. If you didn't come, just think about this. If you didn't come expecting something, why are you here?
Right.
To look pretty? You look nice. But is that why you're here?
No.
I came expecting to get something from the Word of God today. Amen? Amen and amen. Let's go to John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So let's skip down to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Ha ha. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understand and give us a desire to live for you above all else. Let us realize that you are Lord and we've got to make you Lord of our lives. I ask that you touch every man, woman, and child in this place. In that precious name, Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As you're seated, touch your neighbor and say, I need gates in my life. I need gates in my life. Most of us are familiar with the King James Version's use of the word door. I thought about having a door. We have a door here. We have a door here. You walk through a door to get into the building and to get into the auditorium. You walk through a door. We keep the doors closed. It keeps the climate. It keeps the roof, keeps the rain off. You're protected. You're sheltered. But you have to come through a door to get into this facility, right? So a door. So we all understand the concept of what a door does. A door keeps things out, lets things in, right? Okay, so the word door, however, when we consider this passage, let's just go back for a second, in the context of Jesus' words, we realize that he is referring to the entrance of a sheep fold. Now, has anybody ever seen a sheep fold or a place where they will keep sheep? It's not a door like you walk through this morning. It's a gate. It's a gate. There's a gate. So I want to talk about Jesus, the gate. You need some gates in your life, but you need Jesus, the gate in your life. And I realized from the very beginning of this that I am the only thing standing between you and the food in the back. I have already been told by a couple of people, I won't name names or point fingers or look at anybody in particular, you're the one standing between me and the food. I'm hungry. So I'm going to be short and sweet, but I want you to get this point this morning. Sheepfolds had gates rather than doors. Gates and doors operate on the same principle. When we use the image of Jesus as the gate, as found in John's gospel, we are reminded that a gate has two simultaneous purposes. It opens and it shuts. It opens and it shuts or closes. A closed gate keeps some things or persons out, if you will. And while also, it also keeps people or things in. You're either in or you are out. You're either on one side of the gate or on the other side of the gate. Jesus, as the gate, closes or shuts some things out. And there's some things in our lives that we need to let Jesus shut in our lives and move on from those things. And often when people apply for a job, you will go in for a drug test usually, but they also do this thing called a background check. Anybody ever had a background check? Yeah, some of us more than others, but you get a background check. I went into the real estate office in Baton Rouge, and the lady was very nice. I had met her two or three times, and she said, oh, my goodness, your background check came back. The screen is red. And she started laughing. I said, it better not be red. What does red mean? That didn't sound good. She laughed. She said, oh, I'm just playing, sir. If it was red, you wouldn't be here. Right. So you have a background check, and if anything bad is found, the person has to explain the what's, the why and the wherefores of the reasons why it's coming back bad. You have to be accountable for those things of the past. Many persons or people have found themselves shamed into silence or stumbling for words as they tried to explain some incident or a period of time in their past. We are all aware that at the most unexpected and embarrassing times of our past can suddenly rise up to haunt us. That's why it pays to do good. That's why it pays to walk righteous and holy and pure. That's why it's important to, I realized very young in school, if you begin to fight in school, you'll get a record. And that record will follow you. And before you know it, you'll get a felony. And that will follow you. And it will hurt you down the road. So I didn't fight in school because I didn't want to have a felony. I didn't want to have that track record. So, and at the most inopportune times, things will come up. And Jesus is our Savior. We don't have to run from our past. You really don't have to run from your past. You can give it all to God. Just say, God, here it is. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my past. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Once we have experienced the saving grace through Christ Jesus, no one has a right to dig up your past. No one has a right anymore spiritually to come at you and throw it in your face and to shame you. We have a right to look at our foes in the face and those things that those people who would dredge up our past and use it against us and say without flinching, you are correct in what you're saying. You found out what I was doing and what I did. And I understand I had a past. I understand I failed and I messed up. My past is what it is. It just is what it is. But Jesus has shut the gate on my past. Hallelujah. He can shut the gate on your past. The old man is passed away. Behold, you got to become a new creature. You got to get new. You got to get renewed in the power, in the presence of God. You got to get full of the Holy Ghost and the things of God. God has saved you. He will redeem you from your past. The person, the habit, the addiction, the behavior, the weakness as you described is no more. You can get over your past. You can forget your past. You can let the torments and the fears and the things that hold you back, let them go in Jesus' name. Get in the book and allow God to cover you and to heal you and to cleanse you and to make you new. All that old man, all those old ways, all those old habits, that stuff's over and done with. That's yesterday's news. Let me give you a current bio. Let me give you a current update of who I am. I'm a child of the King. I'm not perfect, but He's perfect. I don't have royal blood, but He does. And He's walking in me. He's talking in me. I'm a new creature. Why? Because I've been filled full of the Holy Ghost. I've been forgiven of every sin. Why? Because I asked for it. I asked for it. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Why? Because He shed His blood on Calvary for me and for you. No matter what your past is, no matter where you failed, no matter what's gone wrong in your life, no matter what little decision you made that messed you up and tripped you up and you've been living life in doubt and fear and frustration, you can walk away from it and allow God's gate to close that door of your life. Let me tell you about who I am now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what the world's looking for. That's what people going up and down the street, they're hungry, they're looking, they're trying to fill the void. They'll fill it with food, they'll fill it with drugs, they'll fill it with an addiction, they'll fill it with money or lust or cars or houses or lands. But they're still searching. If they would just come and find Christ, the one who will never leave you or forsake you, the one who will stick by you. He'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When Jesus is the gate in your life, what once made you feel ashamed becomes your testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your testimony. It will be your testimony about the reality of who Jesus is. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, you can make it. You can make it. Don't let the doubts and the fears of your mind hold you back anymore. You can live for God. You can be more than a conqueror. What is that? That is somebody that doesn't even have to fight. I'm more than a conqueror. I've already overcome it by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the covering and the renewing. Hallelujah. Not once, not one time, but every time, Jesus will close the gate on your past, on your failures, on your fears, on your doubts, when you come to Him and say, God, here I am. I surrender everything to You. I don't care if this is your first service, Isabella Grace. Hallelujah. Or if you've been here for 50 years, no matter what you're going through, it could be something from years ago. And right when you think everything is going well, the devil pops it in your mind and it begins to torment you and to haunt you. And you fall and you waver and you buckle under the clouds of doubt and fear. And your mind begins to wonder, well, what if this is said and what if this is done and what do they think? It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. But Jesus, it only matters what this right here says. You've got to apply this to your life no matter what. Hallelujah. Don't keep beating yourself up. Don't keep beating yourself up over past mistakes. Jesus, the gate, has shut the door on them. So when those mistakes raise their ugly heads, what you ought to feel is not agonizing guilt. What you should feel is amazing grace. Amazing grace. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for waking me up again this morning and giving me an opportunity to come to the house of the Lord. There may be some trembling. There may be some fear. There may be some frustration about choices you've made in the past. But there ought to be more thanksgiving about the choices that you have at your very fingertips this very day. When Jesus is your gate, you don't have to live with a sigh of regret. You can live with the song of redemption. When Jesus is your gate, you don't have to be haunted by your past. You have holiness in the present. When Jesus is your gate, you don't have to live in fear of the past. You can live with faith in the present. And once Jesus shuts the gate on your past, you should keep the gate closed. Don't go back. Don't revisit the old habit. Don't revisit the old friends. Let it go. Get past it and move forward. Walk on, walk through, and walk thrilled. Don't look back. Don't stop breathing, eating, sleeping, the word of God. Apply it to every avenue and point of your life. Hallelujah. Keep the gate shut on guilt, on sin, on doubt. Keep the gate shut on fear and hopelessness. You have hope. You have a joy. You can have peace. You can have the mercies of God and the healing of God and the blessing of God Almighty in your life. You know where and what your weakness is. You know the things that will lead you to things that pull you down. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Once the Lord has delivered you from abusive and bad things, take your key and walk on. Walk on. Let it go. Get it behind you and move forward. Now, as the sheep gate we're talking about this morning, Jesus not only shuts some things out, but He also opens the door to some other things in our lives. It's a beautiful thing that He does. As much as we rejoice in what Jesus has shut out of our lives, we are most grateful and about what He has opened to us. And some people emphasize just what Jesus has shut the door on, what they don't do or can't do anymore. But I like to talk about what Jesus, the gate, has opened to us, what we can do, where we can go, who we can be. Jesus has opened up access to the throne of grace. When our sins make us unworthy to come to God, we can plead the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and thus find help at the throne of mercy in our time of need. He has opened to us the power and the joy of forgiveness. Hallelujah. We have been able to pray for people we didn't think we'd ever be able to pray for. Maybe someone in this room has offended someone else, but you can look at them now and say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I forgive you. It's okay. You're my brother. You're my sister. Let's have revival. Let's reach the lost. Let's tell everybody about Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. We're able to get rid of the feelings we've had and we didn't think we ever would be able to get rid of. We know We know we couldn't have done it on our own. On our own, we can't do it. On our own, we're flesh, we're human. We get mad, we get upset, we have emotion. And it's hard to control sometimes, but you've got to get control of it. You've got to get control of yourself. Sometimes you've got to look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, self, pull up my bootstrap. You're going to move forward. You're going to make it. There's some things I'm not going to do. There's some places I'm not going to go. There's some words I'm not going to say. Why? Because I don't want to be that old man anymore. I want to be a new man. Only Jesus opening our hearts to forgiveness could have produced a change in our life. Jesus, the gate, has opened the way of true joy. Does anybody have joy this morning? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We thought the world offered a good time on a Friday night, on a Saturday night, but no good time can match the good time we have in church when the Spirit of the Lord begins to fall and Jesus opens the doors of our heart and we can come into His presence and lift our hands and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've made it. I've made it. Oh, you didn't think I would make it, but I've made it. I'm going to keep making it. I'm going to keep pressing forward. Jesus, the gate, has opened to us power to defy the devil. We don't have to live in fear of the evil one anymore. In the name of Jesus, we can back the devil down and put him where he belongs. Not behind us where he can stab us in the back, not beside us where he can seduce us, not in front of us where he can lead us astray, but underneath our feet, conquered and confined. Hallelujah. Jesus, the gate, has opened for us virtual wellsprings of self-confidence. You can be confident in who you are and what you are and what you believe. You can be confident in this word of God. It rings true. Not in one instance, not every once in a while, not just for a second or a moment in time, but it is timeless. It transcends all. It covers all. There's not one area of your life, there's not one situation you've ever faced that this book and the word of God doesn't cover and move and bless and direct and guide. His word, His word, His word works. Not a program, not a show, not a musical production, but the simple word of God spoken, lived every day in your life. Don't tell us what we cannot do with Jesus in our life. We really do believe in the testimony of Paul when he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What's more, Jesus has opened to us the gates of life eternal. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of the tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. Who wants to go to heaven? Who truly wants to go to heaven? I want to make it. I want to make it. I want to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. I told you I'd be short. You didn't believe me, did you? Musicians, you can come. Hallelujah. Jesus the gate. Jesus the gate. Jesus the gate. Not just a gate. Years ago, well, growing up, I wasn't there, but growing up, my grandpa had one finger. On that finger right there is half a finger. He had half a finger. And I asked him, I said, Grandpa, how'd you get that half a finger? When he was a little boy, they had a wagon. No, not a car, they had a wagon. And that wagon went through a gate. And he got his finger in the country. He'd say, finger. He got his finger in between the wagon wheel and that gate, and it cut it off. He was speaking at conference one year, and they were getting up, and power steering had just come out. Preacher got up, I can drive my car with one hand. The next one got up, I can drive my car with one finger. One had a Buick, one had an Oldsmobile, one had a Ford. My grandpa got up and said, I can drive it with half a finger. Yeah, half a finger. Got it stuck in a gate and a wheel. Wasn't supposed to be there. I have a scar on the back of my head. Looks like a 7. Had a bunch of stitches in it. I was trying to race through a gate on a little 3-wheeler. I wasn't supposed to be on the 3-wheeler. I was supposed to be doing my homework. My mom and dad were out of town, and my babysitter was on the other 3-wheeler, and he hit me. It was his fault. He was 35 years old. I was 11. I got the whipping, though. He didn't. And I got the scar. There's some gates in your life. There's some things in your life, that places you don't need to be. There's some things that you need to allow Jesus the gate to close, and you need to allow Jesus the gate to open. But, you know, then there's some things that just some good old common sense. You just need to use some good old common sense. Don't wait on God to come down in an audible, loud voice and, "Thus saith the Lord, do not." No, just don't even go through that gate. Just don't even tempt yourself. Just set up barriers of character for yourself and relationship for yourself. Jesus, the gate. Not just a gate, but the gate. Why? Because he's the living gate. Buddha is dead. Sorry to bust your bubble. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Moses is dead. All these other things that they say is God, they're not God, they're dead. But Jesus is a living presence. When we have living problems, we need a living presence. When we have living sin, we need a living Savior. When we have a living devil, we need a living door and way. When the fiery trials of life are about to overtake us, we need to be more than a commandment. We need more than a commandment or a principle or some self-help book that we open and read. And, well, if you'll do this, this, and this, you'll make it. The 5 steps to victory. No, we need the living presence of God Almighty that bridges the gap between where we are and where we need to go. We're all a work in progress. Sorry to bust your bubble, I'm not perfect. And here's the bust in your bubble. You're not either. We're all a work in progress. It's a daily relationship with God. It's a daily commitment with God. It's a daily walk with God. And it's one step at a time. One foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. And you know what'll happen? You'll be down here, and then you'll start going up. Oh, look here. I'm making it. I'm hiding the Word of God in my heart. I'm living in truth. I'm living in faith. I'm living in victory. Oh, promotion. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You just keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on. And before you know it, you won't be right here. You're going to be up there. That's the ultimate goal. You're in the process. You've got to allow Jesus the gate to be a gate in your life. Allow him to direct you. Allow him to talk to you. Allow him to close out the things that need to be closed out and open up the things that need to be opened up. All of us have things in our life that we need more of, things in our life that we need less of. Hallelujah. We need Jesus. We need Jesus, the living gate that can open what no man or woman can shut and what no man or woman can open, he can shut. We need Jesus. Why don't you stand to your feet with me all across the building? Lift your hands to heaven right now. Let's just ask him, God, come in my heart right now. God, if there's anything that shouldn't be, wash me, cleanse me. Make me new, God. Open the things before me. Open the doors before me that need to be opened and shut the ones that need to be shut. Direct my paths, my thought, my actions. I want to walk in truth. I want to walk in victory. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise as they begin to sing this morning. Let's sing one verse with them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.